fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here on the Faith and Freedom Show. I've got one. I'm just telling you, I've had great guests this week. This has been a good week of my life. I think it's been challenging. It's been diverse. We've had some lawyers. We've had some politicians. We've had a few other people. And now we have somebody who's a successful businessman, somebody who's, if you can use the word successful, let's just say active in Christian ministry for many years. And in fact, I guess since about 1944, I do want to ask you something. I'm going to come back and talk about this, the fact that you were 14 years old when World War II started. And I'll ask you some questions about things back then and what your perspective is today. But one of the things that is, it's not just a coincidence, most likely, that Lucille Ball used the name Lucy Carmichael when she first launched the Lucy Show sitcom in 1962. Is there any possibility that she kind of played off of your name?
Well, I don't know. The I got a call the last full season of the I Love Lucy Show. The guy that originally was doing the music was voted into the presidency of our local 47 musicians union, and so he couldn't do that last season. So I got a call from a friend of his asking if I would be interested in doing it. Well, of course, I jumped at the possibility. I had never done a weekly secular show. And so it was quite an opportunity. And I did that whole last season of the original I Love Lucy show without meeting either Desi or Lucy. Hmm. And it was many years later, I'm going to say 40 years later, 30 at least, I was doing a yearly benefit for Debbie Reynolds called the Thalians Ball. And each year they saluted somebody in the industry. They would raise funds for the Children's Hospital. And this particular year, all these years after I Love Lucy was off the air, they chose Lucille Ball as Mrs. Wonderful, and she was on that show, and I met her, and we had a great visit. That's the first time I'd ever met her. Now, whether or not she saw the credits back there on the original I Love Lucy show and saw that I was doing the music and thought, huh, Carmichael, that's a strange name, I think I'll see if I can get some mileage out of that. I really don't know, David.
Right.
Anyway,
it's conjecture.
My story of I Love Lucy.
Okay. Now, the question I have, this is just for my interest, is were you performing weekly because it was a live audience? Is that what was going on? I wondered why, you know, once the music is recorded for the show, you would think that that's all they need to use as a soundtrack. What were you doing?
That's all they did. I wrote the music, went to the recording session. I didn't even conduct. They had a separate conductor that had been doing the whole series. So all I did was write the music, go to the session, and had nothing to do. The editor put the music in, and I would watch the show the following week say to myself, oh, I'll do that one again. I'll use that trick again. Oh, I'll never write that again.
Right. So it's more of the stuff that Ricky...
never had any contact with Desi or Lucy.
So it was really the stuff that Desi and his band were, or his supposed band, were performing since he was a performer. Is that essentially what you were writing for?
When they would show Desi in front of his band, that is not what I was writing.
Okay.
No, what I was writing were all of those little those little background cues and little punctuations filled up the show.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Hey, folks, I just want to tell you, I'm talking to Ralph Carmichael. You can check him out at ralphcarmichael.com. He's still working, folks. He's still doing what he does and what the Lord has blessed him with. Hey, I want to give you some information. He's going to be, for our Orlando audience, on January 22nd. It's Friday night, January 22nd. I'll plug these things as I get an opportunity between now and then at First Baptist Orlando. He's going to be performing there, leading a performance, let's just say, and also in Fort Myers on January 24th, that Sunday night. He's going to be leading a performance there. So that's kind of neat. So Ralph Carmichael is going to be in your neighborhood. And I'm just telling you, you're going to have to milk this for everything it's worth, folks, and get out there and enjoy this. Now, the thing I wanted to ask you, you've had that experience in the secular and the Christian industry at the same time. I will tell you, if I say your name and what you do, there's folks that listen to our show that would be offended by you because they're in a Christian realm and think that that Christian music has been somewhat polluted by jazzing it up a little bit. Because I guess at the time that Capitol Records became interested in you, you were doing effectively big band or jazz influence on basically that kind of sound and joining that with the gospel music, I believe, at the time. So I know there are people back then that were offended by it. I think there's people still offended by it. What kind of things did you face with that?
Well, it's a lot better today. In the early days, some of our experiments really got us in trouble. I have had people, choir directors, walk out of workshops. At one time, I remember the first time it happened, a guy stood up and said, this music is not fit for the church, and I'm going to leave this workshop now and call on any of the rest of you that feel that way to join me. Well, we probably had 50 or 80 choir directors at that workshop, and there were probably half a dozen that walked out. And that was the day, that was back when we were doing the not the swing, but the more contemporary music with a folk musical, or we call it folk musical, called Natural High, or I'm Here, God's Here, Now We Can Start. And but the first one was Tell It Like It Is.
Mm-hmm.
Kids were singing this, youth choirs were singing it, and it was the new music, and it was causing quite a stir. But then the after that, I remember. Let me go back a bit. I remember writing. Well, I'll pick a particular song. He's Everything to Me.
Right.
For a Billy Graham film. I can't remember the name of the film, but it was a youth film. And I thought to myself at that time, wow, would I ever like to do a big band treatment on this? And but it'll never happen. But you know, David, it did happen. About 15 years ago, we released my first big band album called Strike Up the Band, and to my surprise, to all of our surprises, in spite of all the criticism, it was the only album I ever won a Dove Award for.
Wow.
And we still play cuts from that album in our big band concerts all over the United. We've been in 50 cities in some very large churches. And so the criticism today is a lot less. I remember when we first started to do this in the 50s, my records were taken off of the Moody radio chain, and they wouldn't play them, and they took. Then there was also the Moody bookstores, and they took my records out of the Moody bookstores. Okay, now fast forward. A couple of years ago, we got booked into the great Moody Church in Chicago with the band. And can you imagine the feeling I had in the pit of my stomach when I stood before that packed audience, and we were with the in front of the big band, and the people were praising the Lord and applauding and participating, and I had to pinch myself. I couldn't believe there we were on the platform of the great Moody Church doing a big band concert. So times have changed.
Yes, and I'm going to tell our audience, we'll get the information about the radio station here in a few minutes, but it just reminds me of, I'm going to pull it right out of the Bible. I quote the Bible on my show, by the way.
That's great.
It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So a lot of times we try to get ahead of stuff because it makes sense, or we want to try to fight for what we think might be the right thing to do. But I think it does. It comes back to that statement, our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. There is a better plan that might be worked out by divine intervention that ultimately has a much better fruit in the long run. So thank you for that anecdote about and you were playing things like he's everything to me and things like that. And that, right, like the Savior is waiting. Is what folks today would go, oh, that's grandma music. So, you know what I mean? He's everything to me. Oh, that's grandma music. But at the time, that was earth-shaking. You know, but now it's the old classics.
Well, you know, David, God has not promised to bless any particular form of music or any particular series of chords or any creative genius on the part of a composer. What he has promised to bless is his word. And I keep that in mind all the time. The thing that we must lift up is not our artistic ability, but the person of Jesus Christ and his redemptive gift to us. And if we lift him up, then he will draw all men to himself.
That's a good word. We're going to come back here, and folks, you are listening to David Alan Carmichael. I'm indulging myself today. Okay, I work really hard bringing all these controversial issues to you. We had the lawyer, Dr. Orly Tates, fighting the issues over the birth certificates, and we had the Socialist Party here, and we've had all kinds of great guests that have all kinds of walks of life and all kinds of viewpoints, and we bring some controversial issues to you. We're going to quote the Constitution. We're going to quote the Federalist Papers. We're going to quote all kinds of stuff, and that is normally the kind of thing we do today. For my sake, I'm indulging myself because I have wanted Ralph Carmichael, an opportunity to speak with Ralph Carmichael since I was 13, and the first time that somebody came up to me and said, and this is after I'd come to Christ in 1975, I was kind of a little hoodlum, and got invited, suckered into going to a Baptist youth camp, and responded to the message, and it's changed my life radically, as you see today. But somebody said, oh, are you related to Ralph Carmichael? And I said, yeah. I mean, like, why would you ask? Well, all of a sudden they laid out to me all their favorite songs that they sing. And right away when I came back from camp, those were the songs that we were singing in our youth group. So ever since that day, I've been wanting to have a discussion with Ralph Carmichael. So, folks, I'm indulging myself, and I hope you're enjoying it. And we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask some more some interesting questions that maybe he doesn't get asked much in this world, but just keep tuning into the Freedom 104.3 FM. Tune into faithfreedoms.org, and we shall return.